As we all know, Elliot Friedman, a huge basketball fan. So with that in mind, we do the old...
It's time for the super in-depth, completely accurate, analytical NBA update.
Well, the stage is set for a large one this evening. We go to the City of Angels, Miami, Florida, as the Heat take on Indiana, the crawfish, I believe, in Game 2.
Crawfish.
Of the Eastern Conference Final. Could you believe that finish in Game 1? LeBron James, the triple-double. I don't know what that is, but included in that, he takes it to the hole at the buzzer. The layup, always exciting, the layup, and the Heat win it. But in Game 2, Indiana clearly needs a bounce back. And head coach Frank Vogel imploring his team. His exact quote yesterday was this: "Fellas, jeepers, fellas, we really need to win this game, and we need to start shooting more from downtown. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. Downtown, things will be great. When you're downtown, everything's waiting for you." That is Frank Vogel, Pacers head coach. Game 2, ball drop is 8:30.
Ball drop!
Meanwhile, the NBA first All-Star team announced yesterday, along with the second, but who gives a f***? No surprise here. LeBron
Jeez.
Jones, a unanimous selection. Just a season full of the... illest jams around, really.
What was that?
No other way to describe it. Can I get a what? Kobe Bryant earning his record-tying 11th selection. Joining those two, Darian Durant, Spurs center Mariano Duncan, and Clippers guard RuPaul, who really gives a crossover, a whole new meaning.
That was your super in-depth, completely accurate, analytical update.
You up to date, Elliot?
I really like the fact that Petula Clark is now coaching the Indiana Crawfish, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, it's again, you got to dig a little bit deeper to get the real stories, Elliot.
Who knew we had to come to Calgary for true NBA analysis?
Can we get a what? What's the story you want to hit on? I have a hard time getting away from the Chicago-Detroit series. We've talked a lot about it. There's Ottawa-Pittsburgh. We think we know that which way that's going. Sharks and Kings are probably going to need seven. And the Rangers, they do... I'll ask you about Richards in a moment, but let's start with Detroit and Chicago. Two goals in three games. It's gone away from the Hawks. If you're Joel Quenneville... I mean, do you keep throwing it at the wall and hope it sticks, or do you have to do something with this team right now?
Well, I think he really tried something last night at the end of the game. He basically benched Kane. He benched Seabrook all night. They had a power play, one goal down in the third period, and they used Taves and Kane for 45 seconds of it, and they basically threw Shaw, Saad, and Bickle out there. He was sending a message to his best players, and I think that's his last card. And his last card is, guys, this is your team, and we didn't see you guys at the end of the game, so what are you going to do about it? I think there's a lot on the line in this series in Chicago. It's kind of been, you know, something that's been lost because of how good the team has generally been, but it's a bit of an organization where there are questions about how well people get along with each other. The presidents, to the front office, to the coaching staff. There was some real issues last year. Quenneville got a chance to pick his own coaches this season. But I think, you know, it's basically said that if, you know, they didn't do well this year, you know, all bets were off with what was going to happen. And, you know, the record-setting regular season to a second-round loss in the playoffs, I don't know if that's going to be enough. And I think, too, it could affect the roster. This is a team that's headed to some big cap questions. Kane and Taves, they're going to have to re-sign them, I think, in 2 years. You know, I just think that this is an organization whose future could very well be determined by how the rest of this Detroit series goes. If they lose this and don't come back, That's one playoff round victory in 3 years since they won the Stanley Cup.
Let me ask you this, because I'm far away from it. I can't speak to it, but you might be able to. Stan Bowman, the general manager, comes in, obviously, after things went south with blowing up that roster. Stan Bowman comes in. Joel Quenneville's not his coach. I'm led to believe there's a little bit, won't even call it bad blood, but it's just maybe...
friction.
Yeah, friction, differing of philosophy. I mean, is Joel Quenneville in danger here?
I think it's possible, yes. I do think that's possible. And don't forget that a year ago, Joel Quenneville and it's not only goes, not only Stan Bowman, but I think it goes above him, too, to John McDonough, the president. Like, I think there's three kind of islands there. There's the presidency, like the owners, the presidency of the team, the front office, and the coaching staff. And I don't know how well everybody there gets along with everybody else. And that's why I think if they go down in this series, all bets are off as to what could happen. It could be no moves. It could be, I don't think it'll be no moves. I think it'll be some fun. It could be front office. It could be coaching staff, and it could be roster. I'll tell you one thing. There are other teams out there that have cap room who are wondering what's going to happen with some of these Chicago Blackhawks if they want to make changes. Is Patrick Sharp going to be available? Is Marian Hossa going to be available? Is Patrick Kane ever going to be available? And now you got teams wondering about Seabrook, too. So I think that this is a team that's going to have some big choices to make, and I do think the jobs are on the line, maybe not just one, but maybe a couple.
Well, I bet you Craig McTavish should be ringing that phone if Brent Seabrook's available.
29 teams would be calling for some of those guys.
So what are we seeing? It's not a question of are they rattled. It's why are they this rattled? We've not seen them ever this uncomposed.
You know, we have seen it once, and the one time was the year after they won the Cup. They played Vancouver in the first round. Remember the Canucks were up 3-0.
Sure, yeah.
When Rafi Torres clobbered Seabrook and. The Blackhawks were atrocious in the first three games in that series. And I had people telling me this week that Tage and the way he was starting to lose control even before last night reminded them of the beginning of that series. But, you know, the Torres had changed that series and Chicago took it to overtime in Game 7. What is happening is, at the end of the game, like, they're getting beat. Like, their best players are getting schooled by Detroit's best players. Nobody in this series from Chicago is as good as Zetterberg. Nobody in this series from Chicago is as good as Datsyuk. Nobody in this series from Chicago is as good as Cronwall. And that's the bottom line. I think the other thing, too, though, Dean, is that it's hard to win the NHL playoffs when you're a finesse team. You have to have a mix. You have to be able to beat people in different ways. And the Blackhawks, especially on the blue line, just aren't built to physically beat you. And I think that is caught up to them in this series. I just don't think you can win four rounds in the National Hockey League now without being able to inflict some physical damage, and I just don't think they're built to do that right now. They need a Rhett Warner on that blue line.
They certainly don't. They absolutely, that's the last thing they need.
Slow things down. Yeah. Take control of the situation.
Off the glass.
They already have Montador, don't they?
Yeah. This could be potentially shaping up to be a wild offseason of coaching moves.
Yep.
If, I mean, let's assume, and we'll just have some fun for the sake of discussion, if Joel Quenneville is let go and if John Tortorella is let go, already Lindy Ruff, Alain Vigneault, Patrick Waugh has been hired. Let's just start with the Rangers story. The scratching of Brad Richards is... They win the game, so inevitably John Tortorella will be able to say at the end of the day, hey, did it work? And I guess he can prop himself up on that. But certainly, I know between Twitter and some people in the hockey world, took a lot of heat for making this decision yesterday.
You know, we learned that Brad Richards got a lot of friends, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
watching the reaction yesterday. I called a couple of coaches yesterday, and I just said, what do you think? And they said that, you know, if you look at it honestly, Brad Richards had a rough year. You know, he really did. You know, he's a guy who takes care of himself. He's in good shape. But he just, they think he's lost maybe two steps. And in a league where it's faster and faster, he had real trouble keeping up. And what these coaches said is that Tortorella is loyal to him and he probably should have done it in March or April. But because he didn't, he boxed himself into a situation where he had to do it at the worst possible time. And they think that's what happened. But because he didn't do it earlier, he had no choice but to do it at a time where it was guaranteed to get the most attention. And now the biggest question, Dean, is who does the organization support? Is it going, when this is over, are they going to say, no, coach, you were wrong, and you're going to pay for it with your job? Or are they going to say, you know what, he was right, and we're going to buy out Brad Richards? I wonder if Tortorella's heading into, like, Vigneault Canuck territory, where they just say, we need a new voice. But I'm very curious to see if the organization feels he is right about this move.
Well, I was going to say that. Doesn't it seem like it's bigger than that already, though? I don't think it's about this single move. It seems to me that that team has tuned out Tortorella. Everyone's talked about it throughout the season, how, boy, why aren't the Rangers better, and why aren't they motivated? You see it in their faces. And even last night, making that move, they come out of the gates at home, being down three games. The coach makes a huge change in personnel. And what did they have, four shots?
Yeah, they had four shots in the first period. The only forwards who had one were Chris Newbury, who was basically Richard's replacement, and Carl Hagelin. But I'll tell you this, you know, the fact that they won, it tells me they got a lot of professionals on that team. You know, I'm sure they were all sitting there. Like, Richards is a popular guy on that team. I'm sure they were all sitting there going, we got to win it anyway, and they did. And they really showed a lot of professionalism. But can you guys imagine if the series turns on that Tuukka Rask goal?
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. I said more, just if you're the GM and the coach in Boston, and you go, boy, we got to play another game, and you lose, say, Chara or something, I think they'll win the series. But I just would be cringing to think that, boy, we got to play another game here. What happens if someone gets hurt and it kills our chances moving forward?
Or you know what, if the Rangers win again, all of a sudden it's 3-2 and everybody's writing 2010 stories again.
Does Richards play in Game 5 in your estimation?
I got to think he does it. It worked for one night, but they're not going to win. If they really believe they're going to come back and get in the series, they're not going to do it with Newbury and Haley. They just aren't. You need to put a guy in who can score. And I just think that it becomes almost punitive if he continues to do it. I would suspect he'll find a way to get him back in there.
That's it for our time. I can't believe it. We're done already. Enjoy the match tonight. Have a fine weekend, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great weekend.
You too. Elliot Freeman from Hockey Night in Canada, brought to you by Eastside Kia.